actually have the monitors up real loud.
Good night, Chinatown.
Schönen Abend. Good morning, actually.
Yeah, good morning. Sorry.
I think we're done with saying good night. It's been 4 years of us saying good evening, good night.
Yeah.
And good morning, as Los Angeles.
Yeah, as the second longest running show on this radio station.
After Too True, who just finished.
By an hour. Good morning.
We recently had a leap second.
Yeah. They, yeah, I feel.
That was when shows on K-Chung run extra long.
Now we are a second shorter than we used to be.
Well, no. We're the same shorter.
All right.
We're however long Too True is minus 2 hours. Like, you know, like, because Too True is always like about 10 to 15 minutes into our time.
Oh, that's true.
Actual fact.
Yeah, we kind of get hammered for that.
Because we are happening so early in the morning, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Talking Show on K-Chung Radio. I'm Steve Cato.
And I'm Nicholas Miller. We hope your morning commute is going smoothly.
Yes, if you are leaving Riverside right now, you should be in Westwood in about 6-7 hours.
Yeah, make it just in time to be too late.
Yeah.
For that underpaid job.
Yep, I hope the coffee bean and tea leaf appreciates you.
Yeah, you'll break into the union. Just keep showing up.
Just keep showing up.
Keep showing up. Those forced vacations are really nice.
They're going to let you in eventually, as both Nicholas and I know. Because we're in the union.
The radio. The
radio
pirate,
union.
The pirate radio union.
Yes, exactly. The K-Chung employee union.
Yeah. The union ended after the second longest running show. There's only 4 people in the union.
That's right. Yeah. And everyone else is a contract worker /scab. Yeah.
Super harsh. Well, I think we have quite a bit of talking planned for tonight.
We do. We do have a long talking for the evening. Is there any news we should clear up before we get involved?
I mean, we covered the pregnancy setting on the wireless routers.
Right. Yeah, we did that last week.
That's check. I mean, there was the leap second. That was pretty cool. Turmoil in the Middle East. I don't know. That's about it.
We're pretty close to finished. So our guest tonight is actually no stranger to the K-Chung airwaves. It's an actual sometimes station manager.
Oh, gosh.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine a station manager with their own show on K-Chung?
I know. With contract pay.
All the benefits.
Jeez. We should be so lucky.
And our guest is someone who I had the pleasure of meeting in Mexico City, actually.
Hola.
Hola. Yeah, indeed. And our guest affected quite an impressive performance on a very unsafe feeling roof area in Mexico City. And one of the reasons why our guest, who's as yet a big mystery, so people are currently combing through the Rolodex of K-Chung station managers, wondering
Solomon,
who it is.
Luke Fishback.
Who could it be? And
Brett.
Is it Brett? Is it Michaela? Is it Calvin? Is it Johnny Jungle Guts?
Back from the dead.
But the reason why our guest is here on the radio is also to plug his upcoming film, Nature Nurtures Nature. Is that the right name?
That's it.
Mm-hmm. Which is premiering at Insert Blanc headquarters in Lincoln Heights, July 3rd. Mm-hmm. So you're planning your holiday weekend right now.
Mm-hmm.
Slot this one right in.
Yeah.
It's at 9 p.m., which is an easy time if you have to eat dinner after work.
Right. We all know that.
Feed the cat.
The next day you'll be hanging out outside.
Having a sunburn.
And from what?
Drinking a barbecue.
From what little we know, a better understanding of light will come from going to this film. So it could be good.
Yeah. Especially if you're going to be outside in all that light.
Yeah, in all that light.
And the movie will be shown outside.
Oh, the movie is shown outside at night. So you'll be getting only the rarest infrared light.
And the movie's comprised of light.
Unfortunately. yet another movie
made
comprised
of
fucking light.
Jeez, when will these people get over that?
Disappointment follows disappointment follows disappointment.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, forget the last 4 words I just said. Andrew Choate. Which one do you want?
I'm going to take this one, I think.
Okay.
And those two are for you.
Oh, thanks.
It's wonderful to be on the talking show. Those levels look good? They look pretty good to me. Tonight, we are going to be talking about writing as landscape. I personally find the cult of storytelling that depends on character and plot to be condescending to our consciousness. What I am passionate about is context and insight, the immediate. That's what fills landscapes. The notion of writing as landscape, I discovered, has been an unconscious element in my work for a long time. In fact, I was producing work that I now consider landscape writing years before I was aware of it. The simple fact that, ever since my first reading in 2006, I've always oriented my printed pages in landscape mode now seems significant. But it wasn't until I started writing pieces to accompany a series of landscape photographs, photos of bollards in particular, that I realized what I wanted in terms of landscape writing. I knew I didn't want a flood of nature words, rocks and trees and rivers and wind and so forth. I also didn't want to talk about buildings and farms and roads and lampposts. What I wanted was a way to write that formally represents the experience of landscapes, with a horizon, with shapes on the horizon, and with a sky. What I have developed is a way to use repetition in language as a horizon line. The words that repeat in each line are the horizon. That's a fact. In proximity to the words that repeat are other words, new words. Those words form the shape of the things that exist on the horizon, the things we see. The sky appears as the silent encompassing of all the horizons and all these shapes on it. It is where the meaning is, and the sky is just as present when you look down at your feet as when you look up and see a star. So tonight I'll take you on a journey through the development of this work in my oeuvre, finally landing in the present with the landscape writing that is explicitly designed to accompany my landscape photographs of bollards. The first piece I'm going to read is from 2006. It was in my first book, Langage Makes Plastic of the Body. At the time I wrote it, it was meant to accompany a landscape photograph I showed at High Energy Constructs in Chinatown. The picture is of a loading dock littered with multicolored plastic bins, and there is a bollard in the photograph, though at the time I was not specifically aware of it. I had the word quality printed along the bottom. Yes, I put the F in quality. Here is the mountains of quality. Kufa. Kufu. Q-few, Kufu, Kufwa, Q-fuck, Kufuk, Kufaku, Kufaku, K-fuck, Kufuka, Kufuskakwa, Kwafwafal, Kufukwa, Kwafquaf, Kufukaka, Quaif, Kufuwal, Kufuwa, Kefu, Kechung, Kufu, Kufa, Kufa, Kufu Hall, Kwefwei Yale, FCKQ, FCKQ, FCK, 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 AI. I fack if I fack we facky quadiile loctile qualify laugh fawail fuquail icky kefik kefo. Quaffall cuffy cacwe quali cali tikwa tall tack quack qua. Fack wick kill till idy quite liddy light af quill quuffy woof quoof oof aluki. Kook fook twally tail ot fight twite. White. Tight. Twilight. Calf quake life fife fit ale afe tiff effet eful quit itty quail tate. Fack tuck ickwe. Took took taffy fat call kite queet. File quill eat at fake lick quick tight quiffle tickle fuck fickle. The next thing I'm going to read is a list of all the place names in Gunnar Grass' The Tin Drum. They're all in the order that they appear in the book. I'm also interested in the larger issue of how language forms landscapes, both our internal sense of place and how names conjure emotions, attractions, repulsions, etc., and how, politically and legally, language creates places. Tom Anderson touches on the surface of this tension in Los Angeles Plays Itself when he talks about the difference between L.A. and Los Angeles. And when I saw that recently, it reminded me of a moment in third grade when I found out that Germany wasn't called Germany in Germany. It was Deutschland. I felt utterly betrayed at that moment. Betrayed by my school, by my country, by my language, by knowledge itself. As if everything I had been taught might not be wholly true. It was a religious sense of betrayal. That need to feel connected to the place you're in and to the people you know expresses itself in what we call places. I grew up in Columbia, South Carolina, but my friends and I call it Cola Town. Casey, which was just on the other side of one of our rivers, that was the West Bank. This happens everywhere, so what people call places matters. In this piece, I don't repeat any of the places if they repeat in the book, but I do list all instances of a place if it is named with a slight variation, which happens often, even if it's just a spelling change. Sourland, Kashubia, Bissau, Ramkow, Virik, Brentau, Dershow, Carthouse, Black Forest of Goldkrug, Bissau Abau, South Africa, Egypt, Motlau, Island of Troil, Czestochowa, Poland, Modlin, the Bug River, West Prussia, Niemen, the Bober, the Bug, the Vistula, Thorn, Chicago, Kiev, the Pripet, Westlich Neufahr, the Dead Vistula, Einlage, Kazamark, Letzkau, Chatkau, Pekel, Mazovzi, Vlachlovek, Schwetz, the Dnieper, Stettin, Neufahrwasser, Russia, Deutsch-Eilau, Marienburg, Kloviter, Danzig, Wiebenwall, Langfuhr, Danzig-Niederstadt, Church of St. Barbara, Langgarten, Tuchel, Hoybude, America, Malmo, Buffalo, Canada, the Spiekeroinsel, the Philippine Trench, Emden Deep, Europe, Berlin, Bastion Kaninchen, Danzig 1, France, Verdun, Hartmannsweilerkopf, the Somme, the Marne, Silberhammer Military Hospital, Oliva, Vogelsang, the Nehrung, the Nogat, Schoenfleiss, Saskotian Forest, Lake Ottoman, Matern, Baltic Sea, Kleinkatz, the Westerplatte, Heveliusplatz, Casimir and Bathory, Africa, Eastern Europe, Heaven, Pisa, Ulrikerstrasse, Graf Adolf Platz, Friedrichstrasse, Rapallo, Magdeburgerstrasse and Hirasanger, Polish Quarter, Oliva Forest, Freudenthal, Pillau, Norway, the Azores, Italy, Kleinhammerweg, Hochstrasse, Little Dipper, Big Dipper, the Vosges, Max Helbeplatz, Neuschottland, Anton Mollerweg, Marienstrasse, Kleinhammer Park, Actien Brewery, Actien Pond, Froebel Meadow, Neuermarkt, Bohemia, Arsenal Arcade, New York, Brunshoferweg, Jaschkenthaler Forest, Erbsberg, Gutenberg Memorial, Pestalozzi School, Zingler's Heights, the Filmpalast, Hertestrasse, Louisianstrasse, Kohlenmarkt, Altstadt, Leiser, Sternfeld, Machwitz, Wolwebergasse, Tischlergasse, Café Witzke, Stockturm, Langassergate, Zopot, Castle Park, Whispering Grotto, Gletkau, the Mavisa, Ora, Emaus, Schidlitz, Bürgerwiesen, Proust, Hindenburg Galley, Steffenspark, Lobsack, Havana, Brazil, the Bisago Islands, Higher Regional Court, Bansomer Jewelers, Warsaw, Dusseldorf, Königsallee, Helene Lange School, Church of the Sacred Heart, Elsenstrasse, Wolgamut's Butcher Shop, Rome, Brosnerweg, Saspa Cemetery, Polish Post Office, Brentau Cemetery, Skagerrak, Brentau Post Office, Polish Border, Land of the Midnight Sun, Café Vier Jahrzehnten, Aquarium Room, Krona's Circus, Milano, Parigi, Toledo, Guatemala, the Mediterranean, Strenfeld's Department Store, Vienna. Swedish Bar, Protestant Seaman's Church, Home, the Racetrack in Orafarvasser, the Schlageter, Speakerinsel, Herbert's Bed, Gedingen, Dresden, the Free State, Farvasser, Schickaugasse, Hockelwerk, the Freeport, the Maritime Museum, Lorraine, Bruges, Zeeland, Sluis, Florence, Silesia, Stadttheater, St. Peter's Gymnasium, Lübeck, the Gold Coast, Regional Museum, City Museum, Fleischergasse, Artishof, Germany, the Free City, Hohestor, Heilige Geistgasse, Trafalgar, Copenhagen, Abukir, Rechtstadt, Pfefferstadt, St. Mary's, Brotbankengasse, Langfur Synagogue, Michaelisweg, Kohlenmarkt, Corinth, Hauptstrasse, Königsberg, the Free City of Danzig, the Greater German Reich, the Polish Settlement, Ringstrasse, Oxhoft, Olive Gate, Schneidemühlengasse, Ram, the No. 5 tram, St. Catherine's, St. John's, St. Bridget's, St. Barbara's, Trinity, Corpus Christi, Lodz, Lublin, Lvov, Turun, Krakow, Lodz, Lemberg, Krakow, Szentkow, Krakow, Danzig-Schidlitz, Altstadtischer Graben, Rittergasse, England, Police Headquarters, Modlin Fortress, Redowna Bridge, Ostmark, Sudetenland, Rittergasse, Flingern, Gerresheim, the Siegfried Line, the Baltic, Danzig Harbor, Putzig, Northern Scotland, the Maginot Line, Municipal Power Plant of Danzig, Mount Kobiela, Victoria School, Scheistanga Prison, Cuno, Spain, Hella Peninsula, the Free Hanseatic City of Danzig, Kaiser's Cafe, Schottland, Schelmuhl, Reichscolony, Palanken, West Germany, Gross Bolschpol, Rations Office, Paris, Oslo, Brussels, Petri School, Mound of the Moon, Belt of Venus, Springer's Restaurant, Tierra del Fuego, Grafenberg, Holland, the Atlantic, Hitler Youth District Bureau, Zhenkau, the Baltic Sea, Sweden, Hella, Tegenhof, Proust, St. Albrecht, Catholic Journeyman's Club, the Saal, Thorau, Crete, the Arc de Triomphe, the Seine, Smolensk, Local Farm Association, Infantry Training Camp, Gotenhafen, Vyazma, Bryansk, Army Group Center, the Greffian Flat, Moscow, Beirut, Salzburg, Stalingrad, the Kuban, the Mias, the Don, Pearl Harbor, Tobruk, Dunkirk, Aleutian Islands, Attu, Kiska. Adak, the Far East, the Volga, Rzhev, Demyansk, Danzig Longfer, Metz, Taginé, Pestalozzi School, Petzolasti Strasse, Women's Clinic, Wintergarten, La Scala, Theater at the Front, Danzig West Prussia, Lothringen, the Eastern Front, Palermo, Belgrade, Athens, the Vierjarzieten, the Brunshoferweg Underpass, Naples, Stolp, Hanover, Cologne, Thomas Keller, Nancy, Chalon-sur-Marne, Reims, the Quai, Eiffel Tower, Sao Playel, Teatro Sarah Bernhardt, Le Havre, Trouville, the Atlantic Wall, Bay of Biscay, Bavent, Caen, Calvados, Cabourg, Normandy, St. Petersburg, Lisieux, Central Station, Oberhausen, Frankfurt, Ministry of Health, Center Sector, Heidelberg, the Arctic Front, Brest, Saloniki, Fatherland, Bad Kreuznach, Church of Christ, Prague, Bahnhofstrasse, Striesbach, Orvieto, Adolf Hitlerstrasse, Upphagenweg, the Conrad Inum, Baltic Chocolate Factory, Hohenfriedberger Wegstop, Zapater Chaussee, Horst Wessel School, Longfair Forest, School of Engineering, Bischofsberg, Camp Narvik, Altschottland, the Rhineland, Courland, the Milky Way, Winterfeldplatz, Kubruka, Kiel, Puttkamarvia, Trinity Church, Luzon, Stockholm, Mountbatten, Burma, the Pacific, Kanev, Zhukov, Ireland, Panama, East Prussia, the Delta, the Sport Hall, Ziegenkenberg, Pietzendorf, Vorstadt, Jungstadt, Niederstadt, Hockergasse, Breitgasse, Groschenkleine Wolwebergasse, Tobiasgasse, Hundegasse, Outer Graben, Langebrücke, Crane Gate, Taylor Lane, St. Mary's Church, Butcher's Lane, the Franciscan Monastery, the Lane of Our Lady, Haymarket, Coal Market, Lumber Market, Baker's Lane, Milk Churn Lane, West Prussian Fire Insurance Building, Leipzig, Danzig, Danzig Gdansk, Pomerania, Wolokolovec, Hungary, Lithuania, Gulf of Danzig, Vilna, Bialystok, Treblinka, Galicia, Turnberg, the Zobe, Tranicki, Argentina, Bisewu, the Arctic, Langfear Suburban Railway Station, Verzezik, Brozen Bathhouse, Reims Cathedral, Norman Pasturelands, Camp Treblinka, Gdansk, Gdynia, the East, the West, Schwerin, Lüneburg, City Hospital, Bilk Railway Station, Versten, Benrath, Dortmund, the Bilk Apartment, the British Center, Die Brücke, the Bridge, Tsushima, British Center, Bitweg, Korneff's Shop, the Eiffel, Heumarkt, Sandgrube, Bilk, the Elbe, the Main, Kirchheim, Grensheim, Blaubank, the Lahn, South Cemetery, the Rhine, Caps Ham, Section 8, Section 9, Stockholm, the Number 10, Ham, Kakamviron, Curtin's Pastry Shop, Wedigs, Lohenberg, the Lion's Den, Korneff's Workshop, Grevenbroich, Neuss, Stommel, Rammerskirchen, Bergheim Erft, Reid, Niederhausen, Oberhausen, Erftland, the Fortuna Works, Fortuna North Power Plant, Belgium, Fortuna, Ruhr, the Ruhr area, Mulheim, the Fortuna Power Plant, Denmark, the Erft, Fortuna North, Vedigs Lohenberg Dance Hall, Gust Koster's Living Room, Employment Agency, Art Academy, Eiskeller Bergstrasse, Rattinger Tor, the Academy, Sittarderstrasse, Ziedler's Flat, Julicherstrasse, St. Mary's Hospital, St. Vincent's Hospital, Hildesheim, Rattingerstrasse, Ziedler's Kitchen, Helgoland, Mannesmann, the British Empire, the former Free City of Danzig, the Burgish Land, Klepp's Room, Ziedler's Bedsitting Room, Kashubian Potato Fields, Dusseldorf's Altstadt, St. Lambert's Church, the Unicorn, Kaiserswerth, Hofgarten, the Planetarium, the Banks of the River Rhine, the Right Bank of the River Rhine, Duisburg, the Mississippi, the Rhine Meadows, the Onion Cellar, the Ravioli Room, Taboo, Paprika, Friedrich Hall 2, Budapest, Schmooze Onion Cellar, the Little Fish, Côte d'Azur, Ravenna, Rimini, Jaschkenteller Weg, Posadowski Weg, Auntie Cower's Kindergarten, Devil's Gorge, the Rhine River, Section 10, La Home, Aromanches, Hollywood, the Orne, Port Winston, the Mouth of the Orne, Oscar's Room, the West Concert Agency, and East Concert Agency, Wuppertal, Bochum, Recklinghausen, Southern Germany, Switzerland, East Prussia, Rath, Grafenberg Forest, Paradise, St. Roch's Church, Alice von Wittlar's Allotment Garden, Frau Alice von Wittlar's Allotment Garden, Dusseldorf City Walls, the High Court, Lohhausen, the Tram Terminal in Gerresheim, Oberbilk, Wursten Cemetery, the East Zone, the Federal Republic, Unterrath, Hanyuls, Rattingen, the Hill at the Lohenberg Dance Hall, a Polish Post Office, the Polish Post Office in Danzig, USA, the United States, Aachen, the Paris North Station, Gare du Nord, Orly Airport, the famous Airport of Orly, Place d'Italie, the Port, Maison Blanche, the Maison Blanche Metro Station, the Avenue d'Italie. And now, here are the recent pieces of writing that accompany my photographs of bollards. Bollards are the typically concrete posts that prevent cars from driving into buildings or sensitive equipment or onto pedestrian paths. Anywhere cars are not desired, bollards are implanted. I've been photographing them for years wherever I go, but as a representation of Los Angeles, car mecca, they seem like a natural subject. Neither cars nor people are allowed in my photos. The writings that accompany these photos are the horizon poems I mentioned earlier. So listen for the parts that repeat as the horizon line and the parts that change as the shapes carved onto the horizon, and also for the sky within which everything is framed. Weaning disturbance into gratification. They're piping music into the cream puffs. They're piping music into the refugee camp security checkpoints. They're piping music into the credit ratings. They're piping music into the shadows where spurn sperm sputter. They're piping music into the rocks. They're piping music into the clocks. They're piping music into the lambs. They're piping music into the real nagging sense of regret that comes from inadvertently disappointing someone you love and care about. They're piping music into the fumes. They're piping music into the tombs. They're piping music into the combs. They're piping music into the bombs. Just Can't Shake the Breathing Thing, or Free Limoges. Recreating the behavior of extinct animals is very difficult, but everybody's got to work. Recreating the behavior of extinct animals is very difficult, but impatience is candy too. Recreating the behavior of extinct animals is very difficult, but the four stages of need are tinge, pulse check, reckon, belabor. Recreating the behavior of extinct animals is very difficult, but what color was your dinosaur? Recreating the behavior of extinct animals is very difficult, but we can hurry toward the end if you want. The wrong pulley harness. Empty beer bottles in a stranger's mailbox, classy. Empty beer bottles in a stranger's mailbox, happy. Empty beer bottles in a stranger's mailbox, jet lag. Empty beer bottles in a stranger's mailbox, milky way. Empty beer bottles in a stranger's mailbox. Don't do that. Wanting the world softened. All's well that hangs well. All's well that fucks like a gladiatrix and cooks flaky puff pastry well. All's well that markets well. All's well that's not well. All's well that takes advantage of a European's willingness to put up with some incredible... All's well that takes advantage of a European's willingness to put up with some incredibly aggravating shit culturally well. All's well that unties the knots in your hormones. All's well that meanders on vacation well. All's well that impounds opportunities from within. All's well that explains the grammaticality of jewelry well. I'm actually not talking about lip and tongue piercings. All's well that keeps a dish rag handy to press against the landscape. All's well that harbors seafood surreptitiously. All's well that juxtaposes women, light, desire, and secrets. All's well that designs good-natured games for other species that they don't know they're playing. All's well that practices expiration over inspiration. All's well that teaches both the value and impossibility of nothingness. All's well that recognizes that the two violins are poised to take on very different subjects. All's well that compliments a dentist abstrusely. All's well that makes it easier to keep things colder when you're alone. All's well that gives my love to Mr. Doggy Face. All's well that pines well. Fetch. Who's the real Obama? Piers asks the guy who wrote the book on Clinton. CNN ad, June 17th, 2012. Who's the real Christian Marclay? Piers talks to Nicole Kidman about working with John C. Reilly on The Hours. Who's the real Janet Reno? Piers talks to my mom circa my high school years. She was so paranoid about me smoking pot that she once searched my room so thoroughly that she found a miniature bong I had hidden in a Garfield-shaped suitcase buried deep in a pile of stuffed animals. Who's the real Michael Silverblatt? Piers talks to Thomas Monson, president of the Narcoleptic Critical Opinion Union. Michael Silverblatt is a sadist. Who's the real Ricky Williams? Piers asks Mike Wallace, the guy who already interviewed him on 60 Minutes. Who's the real Judd Apatow? Piers converses with a guy he saw glance at a stack of Stephen Covey audiobooks at Barnes & Noble and then glimpses the Encino Man DVD on sale for $4.99 out of the corner of his eye. Who's the real Joanna Newsom? Piers asks the guy who dressed up as a horny dolphin for Halloween and then asked his stepdad for harp lessons for Christmas. Who's the real Bob Costas? Piers looks in the mirror and flagellates himself as he sees the lack of equal respect accorded to his own journalistic career. Who's the real Mark Zuckerberg? Piers talks to Werner Herzog about the insects encountered during the filming of Fitzcarraldo. Who's the real Alex Trebek? This longtime game show host holds the Guinness World Record for most amount of equanimity displayed over the course of a career in television, and Piers Morgan has actively taken no notice. Who's the real Surrey Holmes Cruz? Piers stares at the tile on his bathroom floor and for the life of him can't figure out the pattern. Who's the real Simone Forti? Piers punches his producer in the gut and says, I don't have time for subtlety, rigor, analysis, or transcendence, much less all four. Who's the real Charlize Theron? Piers asks the hologram of Tupac about the nuances of the epithet nigger in the context of what is dubbed illegal immigration. Who's the real Paul Ryan? Piers goes shopping for a new car and asks if he can pay with the bones of the sick and wounded. Who's the real Tyler Perry? Piers goes to a tanning salon and asks the cashier about the range of foibles, organized according to demographic, most common for first-time users of the beds. Who's the real Pippa Middleton? Piers eats half an eighth of mushrooms, listens to Hotel California, and thinks about his own empty progeny. Who was the real Strom Thurmond? Piers asks the guy who did a radio interview with Weird Beard. Who's the real Spider-Man? Piers talks to the guy who accidentally sat on a moth in the middle of the night when he tried to pee. Who's the real Coulson Whitehead? Piers researches the life of the family behind the family circus cartoon because that strategy seems so original but is actually so antiquated that it satisfies all the expectations of the middle brow elite. Who's the real Michael Pizarro? Piers cuts the legs off all the tables and chairs in his office and looks with disdain at others who choose to sit so far away from the ground, as if they are taking part in a regime of gravity apartheid. Who's the real Kathleen Sebelius? You know what? In all honesty, she's just a great, smart, hard-working mother of three, wife of two and a half, and genuinely as dedicated to the country as she is to her family. And the best thing about her is the example she has set of compromising her own awareness of the gift of life for winning at the zero-sum game of material comfort, paving the way for hundreds of thousands of others to put aside their aesthetic instincts and moral qualms about relentless ambition and plunge headfirst into the world of social engineering. Who's the real Mark Manguera? Piers talks to the chefs at Bad Kids Good Food, an unmarked pop-up hovel under the two in Frogtown that you climb up a ladder over a pile of bikes to get into, and then trade a pair of worn-down X-Acto blades in order to gain VIP access and garner a stool overlooking a homeless woman's box tent so you can munch on all-you-can-eat Louis XIII vintage lamb bacon. Who's the real Ellen Barkin? Piers interviews Mark Levin, author of Zen and the Art of Sexual Hypocrisy, poems from my first trimester as a Venice gym rat. Who's the real Joe the Plumber? Piers calls his own accountant and asks him if he's rich enough to vote Republican yet. He doesn't get the answer he wants, so he calls 1-800-SHRINKS and asks the therapist if his level of misanthropy qualifies him to vote conservative. Finally, yes. Who's the real Jack from Jack in the Box? Piers talks to Lawrence Summers about the indirectly proportional relationship between value and power. Who's the real Amanda Knox? Piers talks to Christopher Walken. Who's the real Navy SEAL who shot Osama bin Laden? Piers visits the Beijing Museum of Bound Feet, feels nostalgically thrilled, strips down to his skivvies, gets down on all fours, yips like a neglected chihuahua, and scurries off. The assumption is that he finally remembered the third party he could contact to get that elusive interview with the CG Tiger from Life of Pi. Who's the real Rahsaan Crowe? Piers talks to the marketing guru behind Pepsi's decision to crowdsource the video introduction to this year's Super Bowl halftime show. Who's the real Vladimir Putin? Piers stalks the building supervisor of his New York condo and plants a fistful of surveillance-grade spider dung in his terrarium. Who's the real Nancy Grace? Piers returns the fistful of surveillance-grade spider dung she planted into his own not-quite-adequately-defended high-rise terrarium. Who's the real Piers Morgan? Piers reveals the illicit tapes he made of Rebecca Brooks interviewing for his job at News of the World and discussing how her regime will radically differ from his. the biggest lack of society since chicken, big gardens, and the three kinds of jealousy: motor, dress, appetizer. I like what you're wearing. I like what you're holding. I like what you're thinking. I like what you're crystallizing. I like what you're prying into. I like what you're preventing me from fully recognizing. I like what you're refusing to be apologetic about and instead becoming antagonistic regarding. I like what you're anxious around. I like that you're comfortable resting your elbows on such a sticky menu. I like that you're assuming a celebratory guise even though nothing good has happened whatsoever. I like that you're so present in space despite the aquarium wall that infinitely separates us. I like that you're a man in a suit behind a desk, laughing like a girl with a garden hose in her hand, offering me peace through the stream. I like that your proposition is a yes or no affair. I like that your hearing is so attuned to the highest levels of success that you can make out a cut sausage falling on carpet. I like that your award for best snowflake of the year is letting my piece of popcorn contend. I like making the bird be the word, high metabolic demands of flight aloft. I like putting the bird in the word, all those tiny bones and fast hearts. Word equals bird. I like that what? Oversized neurons. This is an abstract painting about how easy it is to pick things up and how some people have a really hard time putting anything down. This is an abstract painting about how a boy fears for the mortality of his dog. This is an abstract painting about how the variety of non-Western orchestras relate to travel. This is an abstract painting about school. This is an abstract painting about how headlessness used to be rampant. This is an abstract painting about how nice it would be if I could get the black crows hard to handle out of my head. This is an abstract painting about looking into the slow night and not looking. This is a realistic painting about suspicion. This is a realistic painting about poems in the marketplace. Note the way the lavender in the corner crushes into the crimson sheen. This is a realistic painting about worms that feel the rich, thick heritage in everything they squish through. This is a realistic painting about insecurity being attracted to demonstrations of style. This is a realistic painting about how everyone should order a chicken salad and disappear into the crowd. This is a realistic painting about how lots of velocity makes life better, bony, and full of luck. This is a realistic painting about arm terror. All the traditional emotional events leave me vapid. Flesh and blood and lightning fast poor decisions. Flesh and blood and debilitating mental illness. Flesh and blood and the tendency to compromise. So flesh and blood can go about their daily business. My capers have kind of lost their mojo. Do you know what I have a habit of? It's fretting. Do you know what I have a habit of? It's wallowing. Do you know what I have a habit of? It's indulging. Now you know what I have habits of. Bride to the world. I counted to 10 and then all the foam had dried. I counted to 10 and then I wasn't very mature. I counted to 10 and then I didn't care about so many things. I counted to 10 and then clicks equaled skills. I counted to 10 and then profited by experience. I counted to 10 and then the cries splintered. I counted to 10 and then was soaked by darkness. I counted to 10 and then picked up an interesting stick. I counted to 10 and then connected the clothes to the body. I counted to 10 and by then it was done. The smell of berries and lactation all smeared. That's when good conversation is not democratic. That's when there's something in the body trying to get out. That's when I don't believe in backwash. That's when rates of briskness give you good endings. That's when personal observation pleasures oneself. That's when I found out that being work-oriented or not is a trait others judge folks by. Fortress accordion. File under being called an angel. File under van life. File under stops at the top. File under not wanting to judge people, but also being completely dismissive of whole swaths based on their profession. File under backpedaling salad bar stuff. File under, but I totally understand why they do it. File under the bigger picture is a harsh mistress. File under scunder. File under so many conferences, so many papers, so many of these good same brains to rearrange. File under justifying the individual doesn't explain the poverty of collective actions. File under I still eat birds. File under apologies, toenails, applesauces. File under drinking just enough red wine so that my teeth look like I've been chewing on death and then switching to schnapps. File under peace through collage. How much time you guys want to talk at the end? I mean, trying to figure out, holy Jesus, look at all these pieces.
You can go for another 5 minutes.
Okay. 5 minutes, perfect. Salsa wiffle ball prizes. I'm a surgeon, except I use toilet paper. I'm an aviator, except I use dogs. I'm a designer, except I use freckles. I'm a contractor, except I use soap. I'm a harbinger, except I use slinkies. I'm a dancer, except I use spiral-bound graphs. I'm a mortician, except I use words. I'm a bartender, except I use education. I'm a guitarist, except I use sunglasses. I'm a wine merchant, except I use pretty vulvas. I'm a teacher, except I use flower pots. I'm a publicist, except I use genome sequencing. I'm a matchmaker, except I use disturbance. Is. I'm a taxi driver, except I use best intentions. I'm a commercial director, except I use the whole of the world's collective time spent waiting for luggage to appear on the carousel at the airport. All to my advantage. I'm a thoroughbred horse breeder, except I use cigarettes. I'm a mechanical engineer, except I use glue sticks. I'm a journalist, except that the word itself sounds like a slow shit that's not even completely done. But I'm in a hurry. I've got a deadline. So I have to just wipe and go, and the word journalism is what slides all soily from the mouth. I'm a model, except I use intransigence. I'm a coach, except I use a surge of vermin. I'm a diplomat, except I use the back door. I'm a harlequin, except I use heads of state. I'm a photographer, except I made the mistake of using pastoral as a search term for porn. I'm a really good guy, except I hate historic poems. I'm a former pizza executive, except now I'm really a DJ. Finish with this one. It's called Don't Blank Angry. Don't go to bed angry. Don't go to the beach and look at seagulls angry. Don't go outside and debate whether to get on your knees or squat while gardening angry. Don't bake a meringue angry. Don't become managing director of foresight at investment research firm Discern Analytics angry. Quote, tech workers must strike a balance between wanting to change the world and wanting to get rich. The assumption, technology is about changing the world. The revolution is how you watch TV. Don't go speculating about the mating habits of finches angry. Don't go to bed with an angry bowl of cereal. You will spill something. Don't blink angry. Don't make plans to start chilling by 8 at the latest, angry. Don't go online and buy shares in Facebook just so you can sell them later for cheaper and laugh at the plummeting morale of its employees because, you know, those are people who like to win, says an anonymous source who would like to preserve his relationships inside Facebook, angry. Don't kill a pelican, angry. Don't fall in love with someone, angry. Don't fall in love with someone because of their worldview, angry. Don't fall in love with someone because of their worldview and call it a book review, Boston Globe, R.E. Eleanor Lipman's The View from Penthouse B, angry. Don't have an allergic reaction to shellfish, angry. Don't go to your friend's fucking radio show, already angry. Don't listen to a woodpecker, angry. Don't get dressed, angry. Don't refuse to buy books, angry. Don't get undressed, angry. Don't shit next to a pillow in someone else's bed and call it a pajamagram, angry. Don't be from Maine, drive a green Subaru station wagon, and order a personalized license plate that says Duchamp, angry. You've seen that car?
Yeah.
It's here.
In L.A.?
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw it at the Americana.
Yeah, I saw it in my neighborhood. Thanks, guys.
No sweat, ladies and germs.
Wow.
Wow. Wow. Whoa, 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 wow, wow.
Jeez. Andrew. That was great.
Andrew Choate.
Choate. It was like a better version of Ben Lerner. A former guest former, on the Top
Yeah,
Kick
we had
show.
Ben Lerner on the show a little while ago. Yeah.
That's a real professional.
We're really locking him in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's clearly not as alienated as Andrew.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Andrew's, no, he's way more in the swim.
Andrew's pinned it down. I mean, Ben claims to be the professor of alienation, but I think Andrew's got it.
Do you remember
Nick Twimlow?
Remind me.
I love karate. I hate karate. He's a pretty alienated poet too.
Are you familiar with his work?
No, but the name sounds familiar.
Yeah.
What do you think about Andrew's approach to landscape?
I think I was in the bathroom during that one.
Well, the point is that the repetition, basically, like landscape is not about a view so much as it's about like a structure of. Putting that picture together.
A sense of place or something?
More like that there's like a horizon and there's some stuff in the way.
Okay.
And so that formal recognition can be regrafted into language. So that a horizon has to be created. Through repetition in this case. Does that explain the second half of this thing for you? Does that open that up?
The second half of the whole talk?
Yeah.
No, I feel like you moved away from that at some point. Unless the whole thing was that. I don't know. I mean, who's the real Steve Cato?
Who's the real Nicholas Miller? I mean, like, it's like, but who's the real is the horizon.
Oh, I see.
Who's the real dot, dot, dot is the horizon.
I don't know. I guess my gut reaction is a little too geometrical for me.
Right. Although, to be fair, the words all still exist. I think the one that was the most poignant for me was the Pierce one.
Oh, yeah. He was the real Steve Cato. He's Pierce Brosnan, goes to the supermarket.
What's his name? The
I could do my own.
No, but I mean, but the point is that it did tie into both like CNN and World of the News of the World.
Yeah.
So this is the bridge between Ted Turner and Murdoch. Being created.
I've been reading this Isabel Grau book called High Price about the relationship that art has to the marketplace and
the marketplace
and to that one
the marketplace
where they put up all the shade structures on Saturday and they trade art but also to celebrity culture and so I kept thinking about that about how fucked up this celebrity thing is and how well it really works. You know, they've really...
You mean like Jay-Z having Marina Abramovic in his music video? Is that what you mean? Or
even just like, you know, there's a picture of Drake over there.
It's a drawing of Drake.
Drawing of Drake, yeah.
I mean, He's famous.
Yeah. No, I think that's what I'm talking about, Steve.
Wait, what?
It's hard to figure out why it works so well. Celebrity.
How do you think... All right, so...
Like, I understand why Coca-Cola works so well. And there's similarities between celebrity and Coca-Cola, but...
Why do you think that... How do you view the reading of, like, a Warhol screen, for example, of a celebrity who's no longer actually a celebrity? Like, not all of them are Marilyn Monroe, like, sort of, like, iconic...
Right.
Figures,
people
right?
People who were just at Studio 54 or something.
Well, no, there were also other celebrities that he affected portraits of.
Hmm.
And they're just not... Marilyn Monroe or Elvis
or himself,
you know, but like no one who has achieved full body icon status, right?
I guess that's kind of charming. It makes me think that he was a person.
And he was just living in his time such that
he had a friend, and you know, one night they were doing cocaine and he's like, oh yeah, you have a striking...
Oh, no, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about celebrities who weren't celebrities afterwards. It's like, can you imagine in 30 years we'll still be talking about Channing Tatum?
No.
No, but I mean, if you were Andy Warhol now, you'd make a Channing Tatum screen print.
Right, of course.
And you're not necessarily doing, like, you know, I don't know what Channing... His head looks like a potato. I just don't understand how it would work, you know? But, I assume he's not hanging out with the Andy Warhols of today. He's not like...
You don't know. I mean, according to this book I'm reading, there's quite a relationship between celebrity culture and art culture.
Some celebrities. And I think we know what celebrities.
Yeah, Leonardo DiCaprio. He's got
dinosaur bones. What does he collect? Nothing. You've been to his house?
Leo's?
Yeah.
I think he collects a lot of art now.
My spouse has been to his house.
Hmm.
Mostly movie posters and dinosaur skeletons, people.
Yeah, he recently just bought a work of art from your girlfriend's boss.
Oh, yeah, he's about Catherine Andrews. That's true.
Mm-hmm.
Is it of a dinosaur?
I don't know.
It's of a clown. He got a sad clown. Of course he did.
Very possible.
Yeah, it's true. My spouse has actually only worked for people who sell things to Leonardo DiCaprio.
That was a joke she was making the other day.
It's a real problem.
Torrential landscape, if you ask me.
And on that torrential landscape, good morning, Los Angeles.
Yeah, wake up, Chinatown.
1 a.m. Get on the road.
Yeah.
Get to work. If you get in early, you could still leave at 5.
Yeah. Santa Monica will still be there.
Email.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Morn.
Good morning.